Chapter 5, Narada's teachings to Vasudeva. Text number 15. Dishanta parakayesu.
Dishanta parakayesu.
Satmanam varnishvaram. Svatmanam harinishvaram. Mritake sadbandesmin. Mritake sadbandesmin. Padasneha patantyada. Padasneha patantyada.
Padasneha patantyada.
Dishanta parakayesu.
Dishanta parakayesu.
Svatmanam harinishvaram.
Svatmanam harinishvaram.
Mritake sadbandesmin.
Mritake sadbandesmin.
Padasneha patantyada.
Padasneha patantyada.
Dishanta.
Dishanta.
Envying.
Envying.
Parakayesu.
Parakayesu.
The souls,
souls
within the bodies of others.
Swa
atmanam, their own true self. Harinishwaram, the supreme personality of Godhead Hari. Mritake, in the corpse.
Swa
anubhande, together with its relations. Asmin, this. Vajjasneha,
their
affection is fixed. Patanti,
they
fall.
Ada,
downward. Translation. The conditioned souls become completely bound in affection to their own corpse-like material bodies and their relatives and paraphernalia. In such a proud and foolish condition, the conditioned souls envy other living entities as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who resides in the heart of all beings. Thus, enviously offending others, the conditioned souls gradually fall down into hell. Purport. Materialistic persons express their envy of animals by cruelly killing them. Similarly, the conditioned souls become envious even of other human beings and of the Lord Himself, who dwells within everyone's body. They express their envy of God by preaching atheistic science of pseudo-philosophy, in which they ridicule the fact that everyone is an eternal servant of God. Envious persons express their bitter feelings towards other human beings by creating wars, terrorism, cruel governments, and cheating business enterprises. The sinful bodies of such envious persons are just like corpses. Still, envious persons are enamored by the corpse of their material body and become further fascinated by their children and other bodily extensions. Such feelings are based in false pride. Sri Madhvacharya has quoted the following verse from Harivamsa: Aptadvat atma sabdoktam swasmin api pareshu cha jivat anyam tathashanti Shrutvayvam Visanticha Etam Swam Asuram Vidhi Lakshanai Purusadaman. The Supreme is called Atman because it is found both in oneself and within others. Some persons become agitated by hearing descriptions of the Supreme Lord, and they openly state that there is no superior living being beyond themselves. Such persons are to be known as demons. By their practical symptoms, they are to be understood as the lowest class of man. Dishanta parakayesu svatmanam harinishvaram mritake sanvandesmin vajjasneha patantyada. Translation again. Conditioned souls become completely bound in affection to their own corpse-like material bodies and their relatives and paraphernalia. In such a proud and foolish condition, conditioned souls envy other living entities as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who resides in the heart of all beings. Thus, enviously offending others, the conditioned souls gradually fall down into hell.
Om Agyana Timanda Syaya Dhananjana Aslakaya Shasupra Samyana Pasmaya Shri Gurave Maha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pasadhanay Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nivse Sasana Valika Sucharine Shukarine.
So the mature life, or the difference between spiritual life and mature life, is basically mature life is based on envy. That's summing up the conditioned life. Whereas spiritual life is based on love. And envy means when we act in such a way, whether it is towards ourselves or towards others, we cause harm by our actions, whether mentally or physically. We cause harm to ourselves and to others. That's basically what anger. And love means love. When we talk about love, it has to be unconditioned. Love is without condition. Sri Prabhupada gave the example in the material world. The greatest love that you find in material is manifested by the mother who was a child. How, if you see the child in danger, running on the street, the mother will, without any hesitation, would rush out and grab the child without considering her own safety. That's love. You'll find every action. Sometimes you tell people about envy. In the beginning, when I hear about all this, I cannot understand. I could not relate to it. How we are envy? I'm not envious of him. I'm not envious to myself. How can I be envious of myself? I'm not envious towards others. But the Maya, you see, the thing is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramatma. He's situated within everyone's heart. It's stated by the Bhagavatam, Aham Savesu Bhutesu. The Mayavadi will try to translate it as such. Yes, Jesus, Padma is in everyone's soul, so we are all supreme. We are all supreme. But Jiva Goswami explained, which Prabhupada quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, that since Paramatma, the Supreme Super Soul, is situated in everyone's heart, in everyone's buddhesu, that means every embodied being. So every body is basically a temple of the Supreme. People will go to the temple, they will offer obeisances, offer respect to the temple. Why? Just another building. Right? What's so special about this building compared with all the other buildings? Of course, it's a little bigger. The heritage building or whatever. But it's still a building. Make of mortar, bricks, cement, whatever not. But why when people come up the steps, they touch to the feet, down to the head, touch the floor and touch to the head, they bow down. Why? People think it's crazy. Why you bow down to the building? Why you touch the ground and touch to the head? Because the deities are residing there. If the deities are not here, it's just another holy building. It's just like you don't go to this the former temple, Eastern temple in St. Kilda, and going there outside the street and offer businesses, and deities not there anymore. What kind of activity going on in that building, you know? You can guess. So what it makes special is actually the soul of the whole building is the deities. People worship the deities, they offer obeisances. But they will not respect and offer respect towards other living entities. When the super soul is present. So because the super soul is present, the body is also like a temple. Sometimes people ask, why is it on Tila? It's to
cleanse our body, but it's also to recognize that within our body is a soul, so we decorate it with all the auspicious decoration, tilak, and chanting of mantras, mula mantra, to acknowledge the presence of the super soul within the body. So as long as one does not recognize or acknowledge the strength of the presence of the soul, it's not possible to properly love another person. Because you also see one another as another object of sense gratification. So basically it's what relationships are in the material world. All this so-called love in the material world is just based on sense gratification. You rub my back, I rub your back. Otherwise, why is it that one moment people, when as long as the scratching is going on, there's so much lovey-dovey going on, expression of love, and so on and so forth. And then as soon as that mutual scratching is lost, or it's not there anymore, that love turns into envy. So basically love and envy are just different sides of the same coin. When one is not in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's envious. To paraphrase George Bush after the 9/11, said, if you're not with us, you're against us. Actually, but in terms of relationship with Krishna is good. If you are not loving Krishna, then you are not envious of Krishna. It's no halfway, it's either or. So, when one is devoid of love of Krishna, then that love is turned into envy. And we're doing everything that is against our self-interest. And against the self-interest of God. One becomes, an envious person is also become very, very self-centered. And very selfish. So much so, this selfishness leads to foolishness. They may have achieved so many things in society. They may have big titles, big positions, big accomplishments, but they all end up to be nothing. Because they are all foolish. Krishna called them fools. And Abhijanan Manuta Manusim Kanmashita. Krishna said, fool, they divide me. They do not know that I am the Supreme Person of God. And earlier Bhagavad Gita also Krishna described those are miscreants. Namam Duskitana Buddha Tatanyate Radhana Maya Parita Jnana Asuram Bhavam Ashita. He said, Namam Duskritina, the miscreants. Who are the miscreants? He said, Mutta, the fools, the ass. Prabhupada was speaking to someone, I think I'm not mistaken, was in India or something, I saw someone in India. So Prabhupada translated the word mutha, ass, they are just asses. And then this person objected. That mutha does not mean ass. So what does it mean? It means fool. And Prabhupada said, what is an ass? Fool! What's the difference? An ass or a fool? Isn't there sometimes people use this swear word ass, you know? You're a big fool. Why? Because he's just working so hard just to get some hair at the end of the day, some grass at the end of the day, which they can find anywhere. So this mudha describes the hard working materialist, which is glorified as materialist. It's a hard working. I work hard for my family. I don't just do a 9-to-5 job, especially now because of the economic crisis, people dare not just go from 9-to-5. They come in earlier, and they stay back longer. And people will think, good work ethics.
Great work.
And especially if you have been working with physical, visible action, then they can see it. But if you work in your brain, they can't see it. So this Buddha, he worked hard, working very hard to maintain themselves and to maintain their family. And they think that if I don't, then nothing will happen. It's because of me, by my effort. Ishvaraham, humble Shilaham, Balavan, Sukhi. I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm so intelligent. By my prowess, everything will manifest in front of me. And then you have the Maya Parita Jnana. The Jnana is Maya. Maya Parita Jnana means the Jnana, the intelligence, the knowledge is stolen by Maya. Distorted intelligence. Misuse of intelligence. In Bhagavatam, it is called Avishuddha Buddhaya. So, they are Avishuddha. Buddha, that means their intelligence is impure. Instead of using the intelligence, which is the God-given gift to human beings, to develop intelligence, to make discrimination between what is right and wrong, and to differentiate, and to use that intelligence to pursue the goal of life, which is to worship Vishnu. They misuse this intelligence to achieve things which are easily achieved by the lower species. How do people use intelligence nowadays? To create sophisticated machines, to create sophisticated gadgets. To do what? We think they can defend. Which is easily available to all the animal species. They don't have this highly developed intelligence, but yet they get all these things fulfilled. They're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and taking care of. On the other hand, the human beings, they consider themselves so intelligent along with you. And even when they try to pursue so-called spiritual life, they also become enslaved. Then you have the Naradans, lowest among mankind. In the mature, they are worshipped as the highest among mankind. By the standard of Bhagavad Gita, they are Narayana, Narayana, lowest among men. Again, they may be socially, politically, even religiously considered to be highly evolved, highly advanced personality, respectable. But, again, they do not know what is the goal of life. They do not know. In general, Asun, Brahmashukan, those have taken shelter of the demonic mentality. Sometimes they all are demons. Most people in the world, they are not really demons, but they are influenced by demonic principles. So they act demonically. So some of the what does it mean to be influenced by demonic principles? They do not know what is right, they do not know what is wrong. They mix them up. What is right, the thing is wrong. What is wrong, the thing is right. They consider religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion. It's something that is clean, they consider muchi, dirty. And something dirty, the thing is clean. For example, some people, or some faith, before they go to the toilet, they wash their hands. They wash their hands before they go to the toilet. But very different is you wash after, because then you consider muchi after. So, why everything is all mixed up, topsy-turvy?
Why? Because there's no proper education, no proper knowledge in given. So although they may be very, very hard worker, they may be knowledgeable, respectable, big position, they're considered as miscreants. And what happened to them? Interesting how what Krishna said. People actually, a lot of people accept such personality as the mentors, worship of the deities. There are pictures of them on the wall. They read biographies of such people, such great personality, history. You know, sometimes you have, every year you have the Newsweek and Time magazine, the man of the year, the person of the year. They have their whole session towards the end of the year. There were many pages of all the great different personalities of the year. Then you have the great persons of the century. And how many pure devotees are in there? Sometimes not even one. And the world is all great personalities. The great this, great that, Mahatma this, Mahatma that. What's so great about it? Oh, the freedom fighter. Who liberated the country. And what state is the country now? Worse than before. So what's so great about that? You know? So what does Krishna say about this? Say, Mogasha, Moga Kamana, Moga Jnana Vichetasa. Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Praktitim Mohinim Sutra. Say, those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that bewildered condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Because they miss out the main ingredient of their search, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because they're missing this main ingredient, then all their endeavors, whether it may be fruitive activities, maybe it may be endeavor for knowledge, or endeavor for liberation, all defeated. It's like trying to cook something without salt. You can put all kinds of spices in the salt, in the subject. But we're not strong, something is missing again. Something is missing. You can get used to it. Some people may have low salt diet maybe, but completely no salt, it just don't taste the same. So it's so clearly defined here. And that is the perception. Actually, that's the understanding of perception of the devotee. That's why sometimes we wonder, why is Prabhupada so heavy about against all these people? Why he speaks so heavy about these people? Because he's speaking from Bhagavad Gita. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita, teaching the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, because of his fixation in transcendental knowledge, in realization, he is not enamored. He's not bewildered by all this fleshy stuff. He's not impressed by all the big materialistic activities and achievements. He's not impressed by all this so-called display of knowledge. He's not impressed by all this so-called display of spirituality, when he can see that all these activities have no relationship to Krishna. So he's not impressed by it. And he just... So only someone who is devoid of real knowledge, transcendental knowledge, can become impressed by these people. They'll become impressed. Depending on what their desires are, or what if they think, oh, I'm a creative worker, I want some material sense gratification, then they worship others. The small ants will worship the big ants. But they are all asses. Just because you've been worshipped by many asses doesn't mean make you something else.
Like they say, you put a dog on the throne, what is the dog's first command? What's the first command? What will be the dog's first command on the throne? There was once, was it King Ashok or someone? What do you call it? A cobbler. He did something, and the king was pleased with him. He said, now you can ask me for anything you want. He said, you don't want to sit on the throne. On the king for the day. He said, sit on the throne. And his first command was, from now on, all money will be made from leather. Or something like that. Because he works with leather. He works with. So the king said, put it on the eye. Doesn't matter, I put you on the throne, maybe your king is still a problem. Go back on the problem. So fruity workers will worship other fruity workers. Mental speculators will worship big mental speculators. And as Prabhupada gave the example, it was in the Lilamita. When Prabhupada first came to Japan, Tokyo, to visit this printer, Daini Kwan, to print the Krishna book. So he and a couple of devotees would take us to this conference room. And first it was a junior executive came in, offered his card. And after that all the senior executives came in and they spoke and negotiated on the prices. They all give their cards. Vice president, this vice president, that senior vice president, another, another. All give the cards. And Prabhupada, he being compassionate, he asked this junior executive, he said, so what is your goal in life? And this junior executive, he did not answer. He took his card from the bottom of the pile and put it on top. That's my goal in life. I'm worshipping all these people on the top, I will reach the top then. That's called, what is called is the rat race. The funny thing about rat race is you have to step on the head of someone, push him down in order to go up. Yeah, I had an interesting discussion with my brother recently when I was here. He holds a very, very senior position in a multinational company. And he told me, I said, I don't want this for my son. Although he has very, very high income, very high position. He said, I don't want this for my son. He should go to university, but not go through the whole corporate thing. So they find, you find the corporate ladder, but at the end of the day, it's just not really worth it. And sometimes these people who are so-called worshipable, so respectable, they are the most obnoxious, the most abominable people. The scandals, all these so-called high-class people of society, the scandals they do, on a daily basis behind closed doors and behind curtains is just unmentionable during Maka and Plaza. But people worship them. They impress. They impress them. They read biography of such people. Isn't everyone, every person who is a little bit famous, one of the first thing they do, they have a biography. Even before the end of the career, they have a biography. Soccer players, they have their biography. Cricket players, they have their biography. Australian footballers, they also have their biographies. And people read. And they worship them. So, the devotee, who is knowledge, is not impressed. Why should he be impressed? Because they can see that whatever great potency
whatever great power you have, come from Krishna. Krishna says, I am the strength of man. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the sun and the moon. He said, what is the use of all these descriptions? Krishna said, even just with a little speck of my potency, I am pervading everything. Just a little speck. This is the nature of the Supreme. His power, his intelligence, all his activities, all automatically manifesting. Krishna is just enjoying a different pastime. All these things that are going on is manifesting. How the planets are just moving around effortlessly. Krishna doesn't have to sit in front of a computer only. Making sure that you don't go 0.0001 millimeter off track. It's just going on. If NASA sends a Sputnik, or we call it Sputnik, out into space or wherever they send it, they have to have so many people involved. Whole space station with all these computers and supercomputers and manning it 24 hours and running it out. Just a little tiny little Sputnik. But Krishna just manifested all these planets and universes all floating around and moving around. No crash. No crash. Have you ever heard of a crash? although the scientists will tell you many millions of years ago there was a meteor crash into the earth and all this, whatever or something. Speculation. How would they know? Were you there? Was there any eyewitness? How can we believe it? Circumstantial evidence. The judge said, they put the case closed. So that's a problem. So many speculations going on, but people believe it. People are so gullible. They believe all these things. It's amazing how gullible people can be. It's just like sometimes I read in the news how this person became cheated by this scam, by that scam. And when you read about the scam, it's so like obvious. And especially the one of the most famous ones, the Nigerian scam. Ever heard of the Nigerian scam? Never received one of these emails? A pathetic person writes to you, saying, I'm so and so, I'm a relative of a very senior government minister in Nigeria, and we stash away $100 million, but we cannot bring it out of the country, so we need your help. If you can give us a bank account, we will transfer all the money to you, and then we give you 10% or $10 million or whatever. Then they just say, oh, in order to do that, we need to do some legal work, so why not just send $10,000 to do this legal work? Send $10,000 and say, still more paper, we have write this official, write the official, another $20,000. And people believe. Greed. And maybe a scam. So they believe on scam, they believe if someone tells them some nonsense, that some nonsense philosophy, people believe it. That's a good. So that's the pathetic situation in the material world. You want to transcend your life. Now, when we talk about envy, Jiva Goswami actually goes further when he explains about envy. So not only is his criteria is that envy is when you do harm to yourself, when you cause harm to others. That's what we normally understand it, envy. But we go on to say that if one is in a position to help someone and is not doing it, he's also manifesting envy towards that person. Because they are allowing that person to come into harm's way. Now where does that bring us? We have the greatest philosophy in the world. If we're not making some endeavors to try to bring some spirituality into people's lives, or help them a bit, we are actually being envious towards that person. This is standard beautiful sunrise.
If you are not sharing, one time, Sojusan, and Sojusan Sama, he gave class. He was telling that if you discover the cure for AIDS and you keep it a secret, you're too shy to tell people. You're too hesitant to tell people because you think you're afraid that people will call you a nutcase or people won't believe you or that people won't accept what you're saying. So you don't tell anyone. What do you think they'll do to you when they find out? What do you think? They'll crucify you. For centuries, you appear in a history book for sure, but not for being famous, for infamy. This is the guy who discovered the cure for AIDS, and he kept it a secret. He didn't tell anyone. And he just allowed all these thousands and thousands of people to die every day from AIDS. Right. So we have a key to the kingdom of God. We have the knowledge. When we apply this knowledge, we can become free from birth, old age, disease and death. We can become free from the miseries, the threefold miseries. Miseries coming from the body, miseries coming from other living entities, miseries coming from higher authority. You can become free from hunger and thirst, cold and heat, birth and death, we mentioned. We have a cure. The cure for all diseases. The cure for all material woes. The cure of all stressful conditions, whatever it may be. And keep it a secret. Keep it a secret. That's why some Brahmins was complaining to the Chantasi about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. That he is actually acting against, he is deprecating Hinduism, Vedic Dharma. Because he's so loudly chanting the name of God and so freely giving to everyone, unqualified people. If so many people chant the name of God, then the potency of the name will decrease. The more people chant, the more it will decrease. They just show they may be Brahmanas, but very ill informed Brahmanas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands this is a cure. Bhavarsana. In the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is pure. It's called Bhavarsana. The medicine that will cure the disease of this Kali Yuga. The holy name is a cure. Vrishalam is a cure. And keep it awesome. What will people think? He is a miser. Envy is not free from his envy. Why did Prabhupada go through all these troubles to bring Krishna consciousness across the ocean and around the world, sleeping only a few hours a day, eating just very little, and even despite his illness, to continue to travel and preach? Because of love. Because of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is manifested in his love for all human entities. Irrespective of whether they are human beings, or animals, or birds. I remember when we were very, very young devotees. Very, very young beings. And we were just 1 or 2 weeks in the moment. And that was the first time we went out on the December marathon, Christmas marathon, with the Bhakta program. And when you're young, you're new, you take everything on board. Whatever we hear, take everything on board. It's just as later on, when we become a little older, you become a bit more sophisticated.
shave off this part and shave off that part. But when you're young, you take everything on board, you just like a fresh cotton wool, just absorb everything. So the Bhakta, we hear in classes that, you know, the power of the holy name, and when we chant out loudly, all the living entities that in the area when here, they will become benefit from the holy name, not just ourselves. So we'll go for japa walk in the forest, and all the Bhaktas are practically shouting out the holy name when we're chanting japa. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, we chant to the tree. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so all the trees go, you know, get benefit. And there was one devotee, actually, there was one of my first mentors. It was a Prabhupada disciple. He was the vice president. He was a real fire up kirtan leader, he was a fire up preacher. American devotee. Sometimes we find him in the forest. Our headquarters was just like in a countryside with 5 acres of land, just on the border of a forest. Sometimes you hear him preaching to the trees. Very fire, like giving the whole Bhagavatam class. Mayavadi, he was preaching against Mayavadi, defeating Mayavadi philosophy. Because if Prabhupada goes, so sometimes Mayavadi, they become trees. He was preaching, really heavy preaching going on, huh? And he's a preacher for sure. So no wonder when he preached, he's so fired up. Because he's always preaching. Doesn't matter when he's even trees he's preaching. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, if there's no one there, just preach to the walls. And Prabhupada did that. He actually preached to the walls. One time when there was nobody came for his program in the early days, before he started Islam in New York. You remember what his Guru Maharaj said, so he just started preaching, gave a class. Fortunately for all of us, he turned on the tape recorder and recorded it. You know where is that lecture now? Who knows? Who knows where is this lecture? The Prabhupada gave to the walls. I've said that quite a few times in the classes here. Yeah. Introduction to Bhagavad Gita. It's amazing. The introduction to Bhagavad Gita is so amazing. That was what Prabhupada was speaking to the walls. You never know who's going to hear it. Huh? You never know. So, that actually, so it's either of envy or love. And for the devotee, he expresses his love in the form of making Krishna as the center of their life. There may be some pursuit for activity. We work. We may cultivate knowledge also. We follow the path of liberation. But it's all linked up to Krishna. Centered around Krishna. It's not that we just sit somewhere and then, you know, again, like my wife, you sit down and do nothing. We work, we do useful things. We're not just sitting around just chanting all day and chanting mantra and offering prayers. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he would go for his morning walk every day, and there was this devotee, so offering prayers every day. As Prabhupada come out, he would be chanting prayers from the Bhagavatam and Brahma Sutra and like that. So one day Prabhupada walked by, he was there and he was chanting. Prabhupada said, go and do something useful. There are times for things. Just like sometimes, you know, bad habit, like crossway. You always come to crossway to chant japa instead of doing service. Even a few hours to come there, you do some days you do service, not disappear somewhere to japa. Japa should be done other times. So the devotees, they manifest their love in their activities by how they're connecting everything to Krishna and doing it as an offering,
That's a yakin. Yakitan kama no yantra, loka yam kama bandana, katatam kama kandaya, mukta sangha samacha. That's the proper devotion. That's the proper success. That's the difference. See, the materialist, when they do not acknowledge and accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they are in delusion. And in that deluded condition, all their positive activities, all their endeavor for liberation, all their culture of knowledge, all defeated. All aim defeated. Doesn't matter what position they hold, how much they rise, they all aim in defeat. They all aim in death. They have to leave everything behind. But the wealth, on the other hand, anyone who is engaging in devotional service, he's making progress. He's on the program. His progress is making progress towards success. Everything is like a staircase, it's building. Nothing is lost. Whatever devotional service is performed, it's never lost. And knowing that, what should we do? We should use every moment that we can remember, any moment we remember trying to add. That should be our meditation. How we can just keep on adding more and more into our Krishna conscious bank balance. And more gratitude. It may be small, it may be 0.1%, or maybe 0.05%. What is the Chinese saying? Every long journey begins with the first step. Right? And even a drop of water it can wear down a mountain over time. So sometimes thinking of all the way pure devotee, completely free from material desire, not even one inch of material desire, sounds very far away. Very far away. We can talk about it, we can get inspired by it, we know what goes on. But then we have to come back to reality. Where am I now? And you start thinking too much, come on. It seems like an impossible hurdle. It's like an impossible mountain to cross. But don't worry, don't go too far. We know where we're supposed to go and where we're heading. But take each step and try to take as many steps as you can. Keep any. And before we know it, we turn around. Hey, I just passed the halfway mark. And as we pass the halfway mark, things start to tilt in our balance. Like a scale. When the heavy start to tilt in our balance. And things become a little bit easier. Or even things may become more difficult, but we'll be better equipped to handle it. You'll be better equipped to handle all the obstacles, whatever it comes. Whatever might throw at us, we'll be able to handle it. So this is how deep devotees. And when we have absorbed that kind of consciousness, we're not impressed. It's not a goal we go around telling people off. But we're not impressed by all this so-called achievement of the material. Yeah, okay, it's nice. You won three Olympic gold. And what? Become a fish in the next life? Then preparing to swim very nicely. Yes, we acknowledge you put in a lot, it requires a lot of discipline, we acknowledge that. Put a lot of hard work. Incredible amount of sacrifice. Yes. And they get a gold medal. Then what? They make millions. You become a poster girl. Everyone clamoring for you. But as they say, right after that, the incident, for example, this girl got 3 gold medals, became like new poster girl of Australia. They said, this is the time to cash in, because it will last only for a very short time. They openly say that. All these so-called evidence, they say it will last only for a few short time. And then what? What is the goal? What is the ultimate accomplishment? It just faded away in the history book. Where people once every 4 years to bring it up. Every 4 years when the next Olympic comes up, it's like, oh, and so and so got a gold medal in 2008, and now it's already 2050. And then a brief mention, where are we? Maybe we are in bird flying in the sky watching the Olympic. Because we are so attached. So you can't get rid of it in the conscious, so you become birds flying over the Olympic stadium. So actually it requires a lot of intelligence. They say something like it's called Buddha Yoga. Krishna consciousness requires intelligence to understand things in proper perspective. And that's why it's so important. Classes are so important. Hearing Bhagavatam classes. Reading Bhagavad Gita. Reading Bhagavatam. You have to read. You have to study. We have to fill ourselves with all this knowledge. And our intelligence has to be guided by this knowledge. If our intelligence is not guided by knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, what will it be guided by? Mental speculation. If we don't fill our mind and intelligence with Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it will be filled with all kinds of mental speculation and sentimentalism. Prabhupada said, religion without knowledge is mental speculation. Now, is it not? Religion without knowledge is sentimentalism. And knowledge without religion is mental speculation. So our life has to be guided by the knowledge. Prabhupada put so much work, so much effort into this, writing these books to give us this wonderful gift, this bhavartha, this medicine for Kali Yuga. Here's the thing. Sometimes it may be bitter, but we have to know what is good for us. And then, when we fill ourselves with knowledge, we know how to act. We know what to do in every situation. We are this sharp. The intelligence becomes very sharp. You can see through all the illusion. You can just cut right through it and see what it's all about. Sometimes Maya can send things to us in such a beautiful way. Then we have to use our intelligence and analytic mind. Pursue it. Okay. It's attractive. What is this going to lead to? What is it going to lead to? What is it going to lead to? What is it going to lead to? And behind all that is Maya. Behind all this covering is Maya. Okay. But if we don't have the intelligence, that if we are not conscious of things, we don't see him. And then we just very sentimentally say, oh, this is for Krishna, that is for Krishna, everything is Krishna, Krishna is everywhere. Like we hear all the time. So, thank you very much for your attention. Are there any questions or comments? Oh, before questions comment, time to think. It's fast approaching. Next week, big program. Next week will be Fitzroy Town Hall, Friday, Saturday. We need people to house drop, post drop. What do you call this? Letter drop. Need some volunteers. You can go to Stoka Krishna Puru. Raise your hand so we know who you are. Need some help to drop more of this. Any questions? Welcome. Final words.
You said that you have to love everybody and try to serve them and change what it is.
Yeah, there's some religion they also talk about love. But unless you develop a love for God, you can't love everybody. It's just sentimental. I love you. I love everyone. You ask further, you have no idea what is happening. So what do you mean by that love? Sometimes I challenge my children.
I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy.
What will you do for me? What will you do for me? You ask me to become dishes. Now you cannot misuse my love for you. Cannot take advantage. Love requires a lot of sacrifice. And in some degree you see the love of the parents for the children, which the children will never understand unless until they become parents themselves. The sacrifice the parents make for the children. The things that they forego, that they want to have, but they will just forego so that they can provide for the children. Sacrifice is a manifestation of love, although it's based on positive platform. Someone has a question? Yes. Well, that is usually it's learned through the schools of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. Everyone will have to find for themselves individually where is the level that can function the best. Some people can work under a lot of stress, and others can't. For example, I like to put goals, set goals for myself and put pressure on myself. I do that all the time. But when people put pressure on me, I can't function. I don't need that. I don't need people to push me. I'll just give you an example. When I was in Sankirtan, I was a Sankirtan leader. I was doing quite fine. My second goal is I was doing fine in both situations. Then the Tamil person, for whatever reason, wanted to create a super party. So I was taken out from that one party and put into another Sankirtan party. And in another Sankirtan party, this devotee was just into really all these goals, you know, setting goals for everyone. He said, okay, this week we're going to do the five or six of us. And we're going to do we're going to do like 2,000 this week. 2,000 goals this week. There's five of us. And after now, you do this much, you do this much, this much. And it freaked me out completely. Completely freaked me out. The number of books that I issued started to drop. So I called up everyone, temple president, my spiritual master was there, and I complained. I said, I can't handle this. And then he told me, he said, forget about his goal, forget his wow. We think, wow, this week we're going to do this much, you know. Which, I mean, he become very powerful if he actually fulfilled those wows. And he was a really powerful guy. He was a lieutenant in the Swedish army. And he won the Fan Fan. You know the army Fan Fan? He was a world champion in the army. You know it's Fan Fan? It's like a triathlon. And one time he was practicing with a gun, and the gun kind of blew up in his face. He was lying down on the bed and was biting his teeth so hard, he cracked his teeth. I'm going to survive this. I'm not going to die. He was that kind of person, really very, very determined person. So anyway, I called up and I said, just forget about this. Well, let him somehow fulfill it. You just do what you can. And straight away, my distribution goes up. So different people work under different conditions. So you have to find. And we have to think of Krishna consciousness as a marathon race. It's not 100 meter dash. Many devotees think of it as a 100 or 200 meter dash. And then the collapse. The star. And then, where was he now? Where is he? And then, you know, it's like a star, constantly getting brighter and brighter. So we have to find a place where we can sustain, maintain the growth. So you learn it by, but again, I always mention this point, if you have a mentor who can guide you, then it becomes much easier. You can push and push yourself, and then the mentor will say, hey, yak you right. Hey, Kanapati, slow down. Or he'll give you a kick in the rear end. Get moving, Baba. So then after a while, it helps us to find our way. And in life, we go through many things. There's so many twists and turns in life. And sometimes, you need to take a step back in order to move forward again. You go through different situations. Sometimes you're a brahmachari, and then next moment you're a grihastha. And married, and then the amount of time you have for service is less. You have other responsibilities added on. We should not be neglected. Should be taken care of properly because it's your responsibility in the ashram. So it seems like you're taking some steps back. But you always have to keep in mind the goal. Never miss what the goal is. Doesn't matter we miss some roadblock. We sleep and fall over sometimes, or we have to take some steps back, but we always should know what the goal is. I'm taking this step back just to recuperate, like move forward again. It's just like when you go to the gym, you do some heavy workout, they tell you don't do it every day. You need a day rest. So because you're taking a day rest doesn't mean you're lazy. You're getting ready for the next day, you can do it again. So one has to use, again, you have to use intelligence, not service. Always with that focus, always with that goal in mind. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.